about what we're going to talk about today. And Isaiah, getting right into it, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. And it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." Everybody say perfect peace. "Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. But you can't guess what we're talking about today. We're still in the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, singular. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit today, we cultivated. Do you remember? Everybody remember what we cultivated last week? Huh? Anybody? Founding joy. Abounding joy. That's right. Good job. Thank you. Abounding joy. Right? So it matters. And before that, anybody remember what we talked about? Right. Love. And then before that, anybody remember what we talked about? Come on, it's Sunday school. Let's shake your arms a little bit. Everybody got coffee in them. If you didn't get coffee in them, I'm sorry. So I might make you stand up and sit down, get that blood flowing a little bit. I'm telling you, this is going to be good. I'm excited what God's doing. So all right, so it's important where we're planted, because the psalmist wrote, where that tree is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, right? So it's important the ground that you have around you, right? It's important the relationships you have around you, because some trees need other trees to help them grow, and you feed off of those trees. I remember birds of a feather flock together kind of thing, right? So be careful your company that you keep, because it will either help you grow or it could hurt your growth. And so be careful of that. But going back, everything in Scripture, I believe is ordained by God. And in that, he puts this in order. So today we're going to talk about the fruit of peace. And actually, I put a little twist on it, the little Colton twist, but pursuing the fruit of perfect peace. I want that perfect peace. I want to pursue that perfect peace. And so peace in the Bible means the exact same thing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Greek, it was translated as, and I want to pronounce this right, Irene or Irene, E-I-R-E-N-E. That is the Greek term for peace, which means shalom in the Hebrew. And shalom and Irene are both found in Old and New Testaments. And it literally means the exact same thing. Peace harmonizes everything from the first two lessons that we've talked about, or the first three in reality. So, and I believe that God has ordained an order in this fruit of the Spirit, and pursuing the fruit of the Spirit, because it matters where you're planted, right? It matters how you grow and how you're pruned. And then it matters that you have love, right? There's a reason why love was the very first thing, because without love, I can't have joy. And that's the very next thing. And without joy, I can have love, but if I don't have joy, then I'm not going to find peace. So I have to have love to be able to have joy. And I have to have joy and love to be able to have peace. Because if I have joy and no love, then I have no peace. So God has put, I'm telling you, I'm so excited what God is revealing to me. God has put things in order for a reason. You have to have love. And with love, you'll have joy. And I'm talking about godly love, that agape love we talked about. And then you have to have joy. And then with joy and love, you'll have peace. And I'm talking about a perfect peace. So it harmonizes. So what is perfect peace? Right? Well, how about this? What is peace? Anybody got an idea? This is a question and answers moment. What is peace to you? Give me one word definition of peace. Come on, just shout it out. What was that? Solitude. That's good. It's actually in my notes. So you hit that right on the head. Anybody else? Come on. Comfort. Calm. Tranquility. That's in my notes. Fishing. Fishing is peace. Let me tell you, and I'm fishing to pull the bass boat out. I already told Dad. Last night, as a matter of fact, I said, I'm done with craziness. I'm ready to go to the lake. So, come on, anybody else? Quiet. It's in my notes. All of these things are literally in my notes. So what do you envision when you think of perfect peace? What do you envision? If peace is all of these things and every one of those answers are right, what is perfect peace? The presence of God. The presence of God in that makes it perfect peace, right? So I'm going to pursue this. And so when I envision, biblically, perfect peace is not the absence of problems. Did you know that? And let me pull up this other set of notes that I had, because it actually had a point that I wanted to make really quickly, if it'll pull up quickly. 85% of recorded history is about war. 85% of history is about war. Peace is not the absence of war, although it is certainly unknown in war. So when we are at war, peace is an unknown. And from what I understand, I am not on social media. I do not have Facebook, Instagram, all that craziness. And so I don't know what's going on, but I overheard somebody conversating that we are in the middle of peace talks with Iran. And apparently they're not going very well, right? So in the middle of war, in the middle of conflict, peace is kind of something that's, it's there, but it's not there, right? God's word has the prescription for perfect peace. So perfect peace is not the absence of problems. It's not the ideal set of circumstances that you, I'm in this place that I have just perfect peace and I have no problems and everything is great and it's just beautiful, Sister Kristen, and my entire world is beautiful. I couldn't make it better if I tried myself. That is not perfect peace. I mean, it's good to think about, but that's not perfect peace. Perfect peace is transcendent. It is a quiet confidence, an attitude of mental rest, and a positive and hopeful outlook. Trusting in the Lord and waiting for His intervention. It is quoted as, it is the quiet in the storm. And it's been quoted as, it's the steadiness when things are shaky. My mind's blown. Perfect peace is not when everything is just hunky-dory. And if anybody don't know what hunky-dory is, ask me later. But it's something that I grew up with. Everything is just hunky-dory, right? Everything is just perfect, right? No, it's the quietness in the storm. And it's the steadiness when your entire world is shaky. It means perfect peace is not rooted in favorable circumstances or anything external. It's rooted in the trustworthiness of God and the integrity of His character and His promise. If God has promised you something in a world when your world is falling apart, that is something that you grasp a hold of. And it's an anchor point for you to go, I just have to hold on a little while longer. Most important, perfect peace is not something that we alone are able to produce. I cannot produce perfect peace, because I promise you, I would. God is the author and the giver of perfect peace through the Holy Ghost working in us. Hebrews 2:12, and I didn't tell you this because this just came up in prayer a while ago, Brother Josh, but looking, Hebrews 2:12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me in that verse and said, when this happened, there was a joy that was set before him. Tell me that he was not in perfect peace. That when they came to him in the Garden of Gethsemane and they began to pull him away, after he had pled in prayer that the cup be taken from him, but he said, not my will, but thy will be done. That is perfect peace, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is his peace, not mine. God is the one that keeps us in perfect peace, so our connection to God is paramount if we want to see and experience his peace, which is perfect peace. So have you noticed in the fruit, every lesson, every single lesson so far is rooted deep into a trust of God? It's not contingent on circumstances around us. We all face storms in life. And I'm finding that these fruits are not in perfect harmony with everything being perfect around me. Every one of these fruits are grown in circumstances that are beyond our control. They grow no matter what life brings us. And it's a reminder to me that the fruit that I bear is not for me. It is for somebody that's watching me, somebody that is passing by. The tree that I am being grown into and the fruits that I bear are not for the tree to itself to consume, but it's for somebody as a witness going, I can make it if he can make it. Sister Kristen, if you can make it and you can endure, then I can too. And that's that fruit. That's the fruit that we bear for others, because it's not for myself. So every year, usually at the very beginning of the year, when people begin to pursue health and healthy lifestyles, they usually do some major changes. And one of those changes is taking vitamins, especially for you wiser folks out there that don't, you know, go to the gym, right? Y'all can sit and be fit. You'd be like Brother Jerry back there. But you take vitamins. So, Brother Crosswhite, I'm here to write a prescription. The prescription is as follows. There's six vitamins that I want to talk to you about today that pursue perfect peace. I encourage you to take it at least one daily, if not all six daily, right? So the very first, Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I'm just going to let you know that some pills are kind of hard to swallow. You know, when I was a little kid, they had to make vitamins into Flintstones because, you know, the Flintstones vitamins, man, if you didn't have a Flintstone vitamin, then Brother Weaver, I mean, you just weren't healthy. My mom and dad had a cabinet full of Flintstone vitamins that we had to take. And if you younger guys out there never, or girls have never taken a Flintstone vitamin, you don't know what you're missing. I mean, it guaranteed you're going to live till 100. But these are not Flintstone vitamins. These are godly vitamins. Vitamin number one, if you need peace, the very first vitamin, seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things are going to be added to you. Vitamin number one, seek first the kingdom. Psalms 27, and I'm going to go kind of through this. Again, this was not in your notes, I don't think, Brother Josh, but the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The psalmist is writing this. He's had his dose of vitamins of seeking the kingdom. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. I'm talking about peace. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And to, that sounds like peace right there. Everything's going on. You know what I'm looking for? My entire world is crumbling around me. Where am I going to go? The very first vitamin. I'm going to go to the sanctuary of God. I'm going to find that secret place where I can get in touch with God. Seek first the kingdom. And behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. Verse 8. Sorry, I jumped ahead. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Seek ye first. Vitamin number one. Vitamin number two, fall in love with his word. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I fall in love with the word. I fall in love with the Prince of Peace. Well, how is that? Let's go to John 1. What did John 1 say? In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Go to verse 10. I think it's 10. We know that scripture. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I want to fall in love with the word. I want to fall in love with God. Because with falling in love with God, it confirms to us, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Fall in love with the word. Vitamin number two, fall in love with God. If I fall in love with God, Romans 15:33 says and confirms, and now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. If I fall in love, if I seek God in the craziness of my life, and I begin to fall in love with this word, then I'm guaranteed perfect peace. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. The day that he was put on that cross, he was in perfect peace. And the veil that held us back from getting into the presence of God like he wanted us to in the very, very beginning, the Bible says, was rent in twain. He no longer wanted anything between you and him, because he knew we as a people needed a shepherd. And we needed to find that place with him. When our world is chaotic, I need to be able to run straight to him. When my world is under attack, I need to be able to get into that prayer closet and that secret place and seek God. So vitamin two, fall in love with God. Fall in love with his word. Vitamin number three, seek wisdom. But the wisdom, James 3:17-18, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness, verse 18, is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'm looking for wisdom. Wisdom says when somebody comes against me, I don't war with them. Because we don't fight against flesh and blood. Right? Brother Jerry, I can tell you right now, man, somebody comes against me, somebody comes against my family, and I want to fight. I'll throw fists. But God says, whoa, whoa, seek wisdom. Because the fight's not yours, it's mine. Right? That's what the Lord's saying. So I want to, vitamin, this is hard. This is one of those pills that's hard to swallow, because when I'm ready to do something about whatever situation I'm in and God says, whoa, this is my battle, not yours. How do I just sit there? Right? That's a hard pill to swallow, Brother Weaver, to just sit there. I'm a fixer. I fix things. So when I want to fix it, I want to be able to fix it. And God says, no, that's not yours to fix. It's mine. That's wisdom. Wisdom says, okay, God, if it's yours, it's yours. Flesh says, I want to take care of it myself. Wisdom says, whoa, whoa, let me work it out. Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. We're talking about wisdom here. So that thou incline ear unto wisdom and ply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for righteousness. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgments. He preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. And understanding shall keep thee. Seek wisdom. Take your vitamin of wisdom every morning. Now, vitamin number four, spiritual mindedness. Kind of falls into that whole seeking wisdom thing. Romans 8, 1 through 11. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could do, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm spiritually minded. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. There it is. Boy, I want to fight. My flesh wants to fight. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I can tell you right now, that's what I'm searching for. That is what the world is searching for. You don't believe me? Drive through Austin. Drive down, I don't remember what street it is, like 6th Street or something. You don't even have to go to Austin. I can tell you some streets in Nacogdoches. Drive through the college. Drive through SFA. People are looking for a peace. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in flesh cannot please God. Be ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. I want to be spiritually minded. I want to have God inside of me. And when God is dwelling within me, then the things of the flesh I learn to control. I learn to be like, what I would have done, but the Holy Ghost said, whoa, whoa, the battle's not yours, it's mine. Vitamin number five. Ooh, this one's a hard one. And I made this up. So I was proud of myself. I patted myself on the back. Learn to yield from chastisement. Boy, that's hard. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we have given them reverence, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Brother Weaver, I hated getting whippings. I hated it worse when Meemaw went out there and got the peach tree switch. And any of you young people don't know what a peach tree switch is. Be thankful. The only thing worse than a peach tree switch is having to go out there and pick it yourself. Because the entire time you're standing at that tree looking at it going, if I choose that one, I'll just be right back out here. That one will break my back. The only thing worse than picking your peach tree switch is hearing that belt leave daddy's belt loops. But it was for a reason. I needed correcting. How much more do I need correcting from God? Hey, you're off here. You need to move over. It's not because I don't love you, but because I want you to make it. I want you to have peace in your life. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I wonder if we could just stop right here, and I wonder if we could just lift our hands. My God, the peace that passes all understanding be in this place right now. God, I love you, and I thank you. My God, thank you for peace that passes the understanding. Oh, God, that what we can comprehend. I love you, Lord. I magnify you. God, I love you. I need correction. I need brothers that can walk up to me and in love look at me and go, I see something wrong, and I'm telling you in love. Let the Lord correct me, but I need brothers to bring it to my attention. I told you originally that a fruit tree usually needs two other trees in its corner to help it survive, to help it grow. And all three feed on each other, and all three grow together. That's what we need as the body of Christ. I need that. I need my pastor to tell me yea and nay. I need guardrails to keep me in the road in dangerous places. It was presented this year at Men's Conference that guardrails aren't aren't placed in safe places of the road. If you're going out West Texas and it ain't nothing but straight narrow cactus all the way down, you don't see a guardrail nowhere. You might see one dividing the highway to keep you from going on that side of the road. But guardrails are not in safe places. Guardrails are in places that are of danger. And so, if I bump against one, I need it to push back. I don't need it to give in. Me and my dad have worked major wrecks. I hate these cables in the middle of 59. I absolutely hate these cables in the middle of 59. Because I have watched them literally cut cars into shreds. Some have been killed because of the cable. It does its job, essentially. But for whatever reason, on that straightaway, right between the DPS way station and the river bridge, everybody wrecks. They're straightaway. There ain't nothing there, and they just drift off. And they'll get tangled up in cables. Dad, 2 weeks ago, had a job. One was literally tangled up in the cables. And he had to fish that thing out of all those cables. But guardrails are in place for a reason. And I needed him to push back. I need God to say, no, it's not where you need to go. So keep in mind. Learn to yield to chastisement. To godly chastisement. When God says, hey, you're on the wrong path, or hey, I see something wrong in you, or hey, I see something that there's a check in my spirit. Recognize it for what it is and go, you know what? I need to pray about it. I need to seek God about it. Because I can tell you right now, I've been chastened by another brother. And initially, I wanted to buck. It's not your business. That's the first thing I say. It's not your business. My body, my choice. Boy, I've heard that this week. No. He was telling me in love what he saw. And initially, my buck up, my initial, I want to be frustrated with him. And the Lord said, hold up. Go pray about it. And the Lord dealt with me in my prayer closet about what he saw that I did not see. I went to him later and I apologized. But I learned to yield to that chastening. And it may be from a brother. It may not always be from pastor. But if you have a brother that come or a sister, I keep saying brother, but even a sister that comes and says, hey, something's off. Go, I want to learn from this. Vitamin number 6, one of the most important ones, and I'm fixing to close. Isaiah, it's our original text. 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. Vitamin number 6, keep focus. Keep your focus. Not on the circumstance that you're involved in, but keep your focus on God. I went through SWAT school 1 year, and a long time ago. A lot of fun. I was in law enforcement. Man, I eat, breathe, and slept law enforcement. Most of y'all know that. But I went through SWAT school, and man, they pushed me really, really hard. And man, I had a drill instructor, and he was in my face, and I was doing what they call skull drags. Anybody been in the military knows probably what skull drags are, but if not, basically you literally have to lay flat on the ground and drag yourself without ever picking your head up. You literally use your right arm and your left foot. Push yourself. You look like a spider, or I don't know, crab walk, dragging yourself along this dirt. You're breathing in dirt. You're breathing in grass. You're choking and coughing, and they're pushing you to go faster and faster and faster. And I had a drill instructor that came to me, and he was yelling at me, "Just quit, just quit, just give up." And I mean, he's in my face yelling, "Just quit." He goes, "A large pizza and a pack of beer if you'll just quit." And I was like, "I don't drink." And he was like, "Pack of Dr. Pepper then." I can't. They want you to quit. Keep focus. I passed SWAT school. I didn't make the team that year. They wanted me to try again next year, but God had other plans. But I passed SWAT school, and because I didn't quit, not even for Dr. Pepper. And I loved Dr. Pepper back then. So, but I kept focus. I didn't want to quit. I didn't let the circumstances around me cause me to just throw in the towel. And so we need to do that spiritually in our lives. That when circumstances around you, you're choked up, you're coughed up, you feel like you can barely breathe. Focus on your anchor. And then when you focus on your anchor, there is a peace that I cannot explain that comes in. And you know just somehow everything's going to be okay. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I just have to focus on Him. To be able to do this every day, I better have taken some vitamins. Because if I fail any of these, if I don't take any of these vitamins, I can tell you, days become not very peaceable. As children of God, we can be like the ocean. Storms may rage on the surface, but if you go deep enough, there's a calm. There's a quiet place. There's that still, quiet place. And so I've always heard, and I'm closing with this, and I said it last week, and I'm just going to kind of skim back over it because it came back up. And I was going to ignore it, but it came back up again. And I've always been told to pay attention to little things that pop up more than once. And so I asked, I've always heard peace like a river. You ever heard peace like a river? I was like, what does that even mean? What's in Scripture? That's where it started. So I was like, well, where does peace like a river, where did it come from? Well, it came from Scripture. That's where it originated, right? And I wrote it down, but I wrote it on my phone instead of my iPad, so give me a second. Isaiah 66:12, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled up on her knees." But Isaiah originally talked about it. And I didn't go into deep detail, but right underneath Isaiah 66:12, Google presented Spafford, Horatio Spafford. And so, everybody remember the story of Horatio from last Sunday? Well, if you don't, I'm going to say it again. Spafford was a lawyer and a senior partner in a huge law firm in the Chicago area. September 5th, 1861, Spafford married Anna Larson of Norway while in Chicago. The Spaffords were supporters and friends of the evangelist Dwight L. Moody. Dwight Moody, you may be familiar with that name. His name established the Moody Bible Institute. Spafford invested in real estate north of Chicago in the spring of 1871. However, in October of 1871, the Great Fire of Chicago reduced the city to ashes, destroying the majority of all of Spafford's investment. 2 years after the Great Chicago Fire, the Spaffords had planned a trip to Europe. They were going on vacation, but they were also supposed to meet Brother Moody to evangelize. Business demands kept Mr. Stafford from joining his wife and four daughters on the family vacation in England. 7 days after kissing his daughters and wife goodbye on November 22nd, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic on the steamship Ville du Havre, I don't know how to say that, but anyway. While on a ship, the ship struck another iron-selling vessel that was from Britain, killing 226 people within just a few minutes. All four of Spafford's daughters were killed: Annie, age 12, Maggie, age 7, Bessie, age 5, and Tanetta, age 2. His wife survived the tragedy upon arriving to Wales. She sent a telegram to Spafford that read, and it's a very popular read, "Saved alone." Immediately, Spafford traveled to meet his grieving wife, and as he passed over the very spot his daughters had perished just a few days prior, he was inspired to write a song. And the song originally was titled "A Song in the Night," and was changed later to "It Is Well With My Soul." What makes this story profound isn't that a grieving father wrote a hymnal that has inspired millions of people to this date, but that it took him 3 years to do it. 3 years of living with loss, 3 years of learning to mean what he said when he wrote "It Is Well With My Soul." 3 years of discovering what "It Is Well," what really was. "It Is Well" wasn't a feeling, but a choice, renewed daily until it became true enough to sing. So it's not our circumstances that we find the ability to have that perfect peace with God. Circumstances often wouldn't originally allow you to have that peace in the middle of your circumstance, but there's something about being anchored in God. And that being said, I looked into the song because I wanted to know why this came up a second time after I've already talked about it the first time. And the very first verse, he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." So when you find that peace, and Pastor, I'm closing, when you find that perfect peace that ties into that joy and that love, when you pursue after it, when you take these vitamins that I've talked to you today about, you will find in your life, if you do it daily, you will find a peace that passes all understanding. Pastor, I'm done.
Thank you, Brother Colton. The greatest thing, the greatest asset we could have in a relationship with God is a made-up mind. And if you sell out, you can't be bought out. And I appreciate the word of the Lord today. Perfect peace. Amen. I want that in my life. God bless you today. Amen. We're going to take a break, and then our classes are fixing to come in. We're fixing to have our worship service in just a moment. We're so glad you're here today. We welcome everybody that is here. It's been great to have guests with us today. So we want you to take a little break this morning. Greet somebody. Amen. If you don't know somebody, why don't you reach to them? And we're thankful for the blessings of the Lord. God bless you today. We'll begin about 12 to 15 minutes.